Chavos Halvavos, Women's Shear, Wednesday afternoon, in Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Yud Ador. Okay, Chavos Halvavos, Shar Yichud HaMaisa. We're actually ending Perek Hay very shortly. Different ideas that the Ezra puts into our heads. If you're used to saying Kriyashma, you'll notice it says in Kriyashma, Yishamru lachem penyiftel avavchem. That we don't realize it, but it's the Sahara being mafata us, seducing us, talking to us, trying to talk us into something that's not reality, as he and Chavos Halvavos explained at length in the beginning of the parrot, that tries to make a smoke screen out of life, which, you know, what's important in life, what's unimportant, different attitudes. And again, there was the philosophical and intellectual ideas, and then there was the more practical ones, and the last 12, and we're actually just about at the end of the 10th one, of the ninth one, where he says that if, how does he put it, the Yetzirah tries to get you, depending on your mood, depending on where you're holding, if you're being matzliach, the Iker is he tries to move you away from Avodas Hashem and tries to convince you that's of no value, and really that's the only thing that is of value.
Yep.
So he says like this. He says, if things are going well for you, then he says this is because you are involved in things and you're figuring out what to do and you're acting the merits and keep it going. Involve yourself more and more in them. And because he twists the pasuk in Koheles, Kol Asher Timtzei Yadcha La'asos B'Chochmah Aseh, Ki Ein Ma'aseh V'Cheshbon B'Da'as V'Chochmah B'Shol Asher Atah Holech Shomer. As we said this week, the phrase Echol U'Shteki Machar Namos can be taken two ways. It can be taken the Esav way, Hinei Anochi Halech Lamos V'Lam Azali B'Chora, or it can be taken the Chazal way, which is Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha. So you can take it either way. So the Yitzhara takes this pasuk and says, now is the time to do things, to accomplish things, because soon you'll be in the kever and you're getting a nice rest. People always want to rest. If they can rest in the kever, they'll have plenty of rest there. So, but the pasuk is actually talking about Avodas Hashem. Obviously, it should be obvious. The Yitzhara applies it to an Esav type mentality. As I said, and it doesn't have to be as blatantly as Misa, but people, and again, I'm focused now more on men who have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but really it applies to women too if they shirk their primary duties and says, oh, how could you not do this? You're going to miss out on this, you're going to miss out on that. And, you know, make sure you do things while you're alive. So that's if things are going well. Just keep it up. Don't miss out on anything in life. And when things are not going well for you, and this is really a very sad attitude that unfortunately is true. He says that if things are not going well for you, you look at people and you say, wow, that person seems to be so happy, and that person seems to be so matzliach, and they don't have trouble with their children, and they don't have financial issues, and they have shalom bayis, and they're not involved in anything spiritual. They're just, you know, they're ignoring all these things I learned about. So it's probably not true. Even if it is true, we're talking about something of lasting value and something of temporal value. How could you compare? But this is a very dangerous attitude that the Torah tries to talk you with. He even quotes Psukim by Nadav Ha'aviv, the Krovei HaKadosh, the Tzadikim Kuchot HaSayra, So a person is sometimes tempted to say to them, what do I need this for? If it's causing me, it's very sad, because it happens. You know, a person will start and then all of a sudden their lives are not as smooth as it was before, and things are very difficult for them financially, socially, and they'll start, and it happens to, you know, regular people too, you know, and they say, you know, what do I need this for? I'm trying to be good, and I'm trying to listen to all these things I'm learning about, and I'm having grief in my life. Let me just live a regular life, and those people seem to be happy. So this is the Yetzer Hara talking, and he'll soon explain and give us direction how to fight it. But meanwhile, he's alerting us, as I said, Pen Yistel Abchem. He's alerting us that if such thoughts come into our mind, it's a pitui. And he goes on, and that's where we'll pick up in the text. Ushehu roeh shato maskim lasos meuma mimaisa havoda. And if he sees the other way, that you're saying, you know, let me get involved more in chesed, let me daven, I really have the time to daven, let me learn Torah, he'll make it appear as an insurmountable obstacle. Yagdil alecha inyanu v'yapchit chavimenu. He'll make you afraid of it. He'll be magdil. It's too hard. What are you kidding? You're going to start doing this? How are you going to manage? You're not going to end up sleeping enough. You're not going to end up having enough time for yourself. You're not going to end up having enough time for your children, which maybe sometimes is true. That's why you have to weigh it and see. But certainly the derech of the Yetzer Hara is to make whatever you try to do to make it seem difficult and insurmountable even. V'miya minyan hatzom. People used to fast much more on a regular basis. Now we have trouble getting them to fast when they have to fast. But people used to fast much more regularly. Yom HaLechah, the Yetzer will say to you, be careful, you don't want to be weak, you don't want to get shvach, you're going to get a headache. Ki zor, ki yachli shoschav, yachli yachli. The reason this is so insidious is because sometimes it's true. And sometimes you will be told not to fast because it Taki gives you a headache, and Taki makes you weak. But the Yetzer Hara automatically makes that the default mode. Like I said, nowadays it is automatically the default mode, whether it's true or not, we'll get into. But on Kuponim, this is just examples where he scares you, and he will keep you from involving yourself in Olam Haba and your everlasting eternity, because everything will be too hard, because everything is hard, and it'll sound very rational, it'll sound very reasonable, and it's only a slight difference to say, you know, he's right, like you shouldn't fast if you don't feel well. Now he talks about sleep. We said many times in the Sefer. Speaks very approvingly of davening at night. You can say tillim at night. Everybody's nervous about saying tillim at night. Mm-hmm. It's not like reading a newspaper. You could say tillim. It's better than a newspaper.
Why would people do that?
Because there's an inyan of bikabolah not to learn Torah Shabbat at night. Rest assured that if you say tillim as davening, as tefillah, as bakoshos from Hashem, it's not talking about. About learning Torah Shabbat at night. First of all, it's a pikamo and alibi. So not to say tillim or anything, but to read a newspaper is pretty foolish, because that's not in Kabbalah, that's in Shulchan Aruch. Right? So that would be silly. Also, it's not talking about saying tillim as a tefillah. Nevertheless, there are people that won't do it, and they'll wait till chatzos, and if the chatzos is already okay, Lamaisa, I am telling you, it's a pikabola, and it's learning Torah Shabbat at night.
And as a bakasha, you should.
As a bakasha, you could. The hakpada of pikabola is to learn Torah Shabbat at night. If you're saying it as a davening, as an outpouring of the heart,
I've heard that it can be harmful as well.
Again, the Indian is not to learn Torah Shabbat at night.
Learning,
go. And if you say tillim as a bakasha, it doesn't say that we have to say tillim at night.
What it says is not to learn Torah Shebuksav at night. Now, nobody learns Torah Shebuksav. So the only thing they do is they say Tillim. So they right away extrapolate it to Tillim. And it may be true, but not Tillim as Tefillah. Okay? People are still Makbid, so they want to be Makbid, wait till Chatzos. If you're going to read a new, it's okay. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen if you just say Tillim at night. You want a signed declaration from me? That's what I do every Wednesday afternoon from 12:15 to 1. Goodbye.
He's just making sure that you really are.
anyway, you don't have to say to him. You can get up and you can talk to Hashem. You don't have to say to him. So don't say to him. Don't believe me. It's okay. I'm not talking. But you could certainly get up and talk to Hashem. You can bow to Hashem in your own words. But the Yitzhara there's a few times throughout the Sefer that speaks very approvingly of it. It's quiet. They didn't even have any telephones that are not ringing, or any computers that are off, or any it's quiet. And you can contemplate, and you can do both of those. But the Yitzhara won't let you do that. He'll say, you're going to be tired tomorrow. So again, sometimes it's true you'll be tired tomorrow. But the Yitzhara makes that into like an automatic. He's trying to get you away from anything of lasting value. And Muslim will say, listen, sleep is more important to you than even food. And it makes you healthy. That's more important for your health than food is drinking. Probably true. So he wants to get you away from that. If you're generous, you want to give money for tzedaka, he'll say, ay, 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 what's going to be with your pension? What's going to be with the end of the month? What's going to be with your bank account? He'll be mad deal. And he'll scare you with how you're throwing away your money. You're not gaining anything from it. The awesome harish l'neged einecha, he'll frighten you with vision. Poverty. The Asircha will remind you, Dalos Hameskenus, Bahachisoron, how terrible it is to be poor and not to have, and now your children are not going to have, and who knows what's going to happen, your whole household is going to break down if you give tzedakah. V'chein b'chol min mimini ha-mitzvos v'ha-chasodim, yishtadel, he will try l'hafchidcha. And again, this takes on different forms. He's only giving examples, but we all know, again, whenever we want to do something, we're inspired to do something, or it's something we always wanted to do, and then we finally one day decide to do it, and the Yitzhara is magdil, the difficulty, and how it'll be detrimental to our health. Abi nitva, so think of something. That's what he's saying. Yishtadel ha'vchitcho lahagdil ha'inyan b'lipcha, k'deisha terapa mimenu, you'll leave off from it. But the chasher tach of lasos haveira, yichabed l'chohana osa, he'll most averus. The pleasure is a fantasy, and almost all averus, the pleasure lasts a couple of seconds. Food, not even a second, maybe a couple of seconds, but. We've all experienced this, but when you want something and you're in the throes of desire, so he'll paint a picture of how geshmak it is and how your life will change if you only do that, and what's missing from your life is just this eating this kind of food without the hechshech. That's what's missing from your life, and you'll be a better person if you just take a nibble of that thing. So he'll build up a fantasy of how wonderful it would be to have that hanah. You have that hanah, you'll see it's nothing. That's why Rishayim, hopefully, they right away regret what they did, because they look up and they wake up and they say, what happened? What did I trade? That's what he's going to say in a moment. V'yashkicha, sure, you won't think about the onesh.
make sure you're cognitively dissonanced from your the onesh. The azori is oschala salsa to do the avera belinto say leho. Oh, if you miss out on this, the Rav said you're not allowed to do that. But how can you miss out? It's like it's inconceivable. You're gonna how can? So that's what he'll do. But now he tells you how to fight it. In other words, he went over a few. It looks like a lot of things, but it's really only one thing. He's trying to get you to do a meiros and refrain from mitzvahs. And no matter what it takes, whatever situation you're in, he'll find a way to wedge himself, to worm himself into the situation. If things are going well, he'll put you in kochi ba'otzim yodi mode. If things are not going well, he'll mamish use that. You're supposed to use it for your fash fresh b'mas, the Gemara says. You're supposed to use it to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, to perhaps try to figure out why Hashem's annoyed with you, or to just make a general tune-up on your actions. But he says, look around, all the people that are frumped are having it rough, and all the people that are lackadaisical about their frumkeit, they seem to be having it easy. They have comfortable lives. Which may or may not be true. And then he says, and if you're inspired to do something to better yourself, he is magdil, the difficulty, and if you are starting to follow the path of Averis, he'll other the opposite, he'll make it seem very easy and very gishmak, and how can you miss out on it? And it's just very, very wonderful. The Imtargish Lizet. Now when you feel these pituyim, the Adomilomi Menu, Hoshev Olov, this is what you should answer back. Kichol Tsar Shaobar Alecha. Now he's addressing the difficulty, quote unquote, in doing mitzvahs. But I won't get enough sleep, but I won't get enough food, but I won't have enough friends, but I want this and I want that, and how can I miss out on all these great things? Pitui is, in English, it's seduction. To seduce someone, to pen yiftel of avchem, means your heart will seduce you, talk you into something. Usually by, again, you know, aggrandizing the pleasure involved and how great it'll be. And it's not so bad, and nothing will happen to you, and no one will know, and you're just experimenting, you're just trying it out, what's so bad? And it's good to try things out, and you have to try things out. There's a whole world out there that Hashem made. The entire law is there, but he gives you the weapon now, the Chavis Alvavis. If you feel this coming on, menu, Hoshev Olav, Kikol Tsar Sha'ober Alecha. He's addressing now specifically, but it's too hot to fast, and I'll get sick if I don't sleep enough, and I'll get sick if I don't eat enough. Again, which sometimes is true. You have to check with a rabbi or with someone else to see if you're taking care of yourself in a rational, logical, oiskahaltana way, or if indeed you're falling prey to the pitui of the Yetzirah. So he's addressing that, and he says, tell the Yetzirah, ki kol tsar shover alecha b'mesha kodam yamecha. You told me it would be so hard to fast, and it would be so impossible to not sleep, and it's so difficult to walk that whole way on Shabbos, and how can you walk, and not carry, and you go, you know, it's now a week later, I don't feel a thing. He's saying, you know, you're not hungry. If you fasted one day, you're not hungry a week later. By then you've eaten 10 times over, and you're fine. You don't walk around your whole life saying, oh yeah, I fasted, I've got a life. You don't walk around for the next 6 months, oh yeah, I fasted on Sunday, oh yeah, it was so hot, oh yeah, was I hungry. You don't, it's forgotten. It's like a puff of smoke. You don't feel a thing. It's gone. It's all a smoke screen. It's all an illusion. How difficult it is. And after you do it, then you can deal with the difficulty very, very easily. More often than not, it's just a smoke screen. And the schar you have for doing the mitzvah, that's an eternal value. Lo yitom v'lo yichle. Or Bahamasana, someone that fasts. Remember, we're not talking about a 24-hour fast. He's talking about someone that does a private fast. It's always 12 hours. So once you're eating at night, kilo hosana, an hour later you don't feel a thing. Your belly's full, you're smiling, and you don't feel a thing, he says. And your koich is back. Don't accept the premise that you'll get weak and it's not healthy for you. It's okay. You fast and then you eat, and then it's like you never fasted in your life before. Yeah, okay. Nowadays, if we know that, you can answer the Yetzirah of that. He says, but anything, any mitzvah you think you're going to lose out on, you're going to come late, and you're not going to be on time, and you're going to come late to the wedding, and you'll end up wasting less time than you would have ordinarily. Don't listen to me, I hate weddings. So you rush something, maybe you don't put your kids to sleep, or maybe you don't have a nairiv, and there's your rush to get somewhere, and first of all, you're the first one there. Second of all, you didn't miss anything, even if you're a little late. And it's okay, you came a little late. Now, obviously, again, if you come late, then you were discourteous by coming late, and everybody was waiting for you, then that you're not allowed to do. That's an aveira. You have to judge the circumstance. But again, I think we do recognize the behavioral patterns of which the Chodesh HaLodes talks, where, like, how can you do this, meaning a mitzvah, you're going to lose out on XYZ, and then you didn't lose out on anything, and it's an Irish kite, and big deal, if you did lose out, it's not even called you lost out. V'yisharlos chomer shomer, and you'll have fluschar. V'chein hanir b'ksas halayla, if you're right, if you're up, you want to say tilling, you want to daven to Hashem. You wake up early, you decided you're going to daven, you're going to pray, you're going to talk to Hashem. It's like, oh, how can you do that? And that person's inspired when he does that. Again, within the box. So, I love this, you know, you feel close to Hashem, it's quiet, nobody's ringing the phone, no one's talking. And you're communing with Hashem, so to speak. And then you nap the next day. And that's it. You're not tired anymore. That's what he says. It's really Hashem's made the world that it, right? How much sleep during the day makes up for, I think it's 15 minutes. It's 3 hours or something like that. There's some equation. So you'll make it up very quickly. Sleeping during the day, it takes less sleep during the day. I think the equation is like 15 minutes to 3 hours or something like that. That doesn't mean you should sleep nothing and just sleep 15 minutes 4 times a day. And I had a 12-hour sleep, geschmack. But certainly, everybody is acquainted with that, right? You didn't sleep enough. You slept 3 hours less than usual. And you nap for 20 minutes. That's it. You got it back. It could be. We're learning Chavit Chavovah Shavar HaBechina on Sundays. So that means we have to thank Hashem that indeed anything we seemingly lose out is made up very quickly. Any pleasure of Olam HaZeh that we think we're losing out on, if we don't talk Lashon Hara, I'm going to be a Neb, I'm not going to be in the know, I'm not going to know what's going on, people are not going to be my friends, I won't have good social contacts, because I don't want to take part in Lashon Hara sessions. So, and the Torah is magdil, he says, you know, you're going to be an outcast, you're going to be, people are going to, you'll be a pariah. They won't want you to sit with them. It's okay. First of all, Baruch Hashem, they don't want you to sit with them. Second of all, it's not even going to happen, and don't worry, and they'll be your friend, and relax. And so people are magdil consequences for good things. So he says, and you'll have your schar la'olam. You won't lose out anything, and you'll have your schar for all eternity. Mishor lo gemul amodov uschar tfiloso that he did belaila la'olam. Amalinyan atztaka is even more powerful. He says, stalka, the whole thing's a lie. It's a sheker. Kasher biyarte v'shar habitochon bor heitev, that you don't lose out anything by giving stalka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusts us with a certain amount of money, and we're the apotropsim, we're the caretakers of the money, and we give it out to tzedakah. And you don't lose out. It wasn't your money to begin with. You don't lose out. No one ever became poor from tzedakah. So the whole pachad is not even true. That's what he explains in Shaar HaBitachon, that it's not your money in the first place, first of all. And the second, he goes through a whole thing. So the whole scary scenario of the Eitz HaRa is not true at all. Ach inyan ha'averos, by the other things, he said, you know, first of all, that maybe it's worthwhile to do, and even if it's not, but you can quickly make up the sleep you lost, and the food you lost, and the friends you didn't make, and so on and so forth. Here, he's saying it's not even true to begin with, that you're missing money if you give tzedakah. It's a lie, it's a sheker. And the Ramban, I told you, says it's a lav. If you feel constricted because of tzedakah you give, you say, I now have less money. You're not, that's over a lav. The Ramban counts in the minyan halavin, lo sa'ameitz es levavcha, meaning your heart gives a little, a little knip, a little kvetch, because you're, so you say, according to Ramban, if you do your bank statement, you said, oh, I used to have $100 in the bank, and now I have only $90, because I gave $10 tzedakah. Maybe you're over a lot. You're supposed to say, you're supposed to think, I temporarily transferred $10, so I only have $90 in this bank, but I have $10 somewhere else, and it's going to come back to me soon. I invested the money. And you don't lose out by giving tzedakah. That's what the Ramban says. And if you think you do, and you therefore hesitate to give it, you're over that lav. Okay, so that's why he says. So till now he said it's not true, and you'll sleep, and you'll rejuvenate your kolchos very quickly. But tzedakah's not even true. Kvar biyarti v'sharei b'tochem bar heitiv achinyan haveros. And then when he says how gishmak this is going to be, how could you not join your friends in doing so and so? And how could you not be in style if the style is, let's say, not sneistic? And you're going here, and the questionable kashrus, but he builds up the hano, and how could you think of missing out on this trip? How can you think of not being with the chevra? Achinyan ha'averosor shetosha b'lipcha v'savir al machshavto chalifos hana'os chameherah. To realize that this pleasure of which he's talking, that you should sacrifice in reality so much, is for very little. For a few seconds of pleasure. That's really all that's almost always, virtually always, that's what's involved in the Averis of the Torah. A few seconds of pleasure. Hamutar v'ha'osar shebohen. You have things that are mutter to do and things that are also to do. The tishor cherpas hamaguna mehen olecha, but you will always remain with the cherpa of your neshama of the avera. Everybody will be able to see that you did this avera. The tishor cherpas hamaguna mehen olecha ba'ancho b'olam hazeh u'olam haba. So just make the right equation. Show him that what you're losing out by doing a mitzvah is really very inconsequential, and in contradistinction to that, the schar for doing the mitzvah is eternity, and by an aveira that he wants you to do, you speak out that, you know, it's very fleeting, and the schar for being merapeh, for leaving off kol ma'isa maguna, is again a very intense schar. We'll go now on to the next paragraph, which is number 10 in the list of 12 things. We'll do now number 10. V'chashe yovdu svoro mimacha b'fonim halalu. And he keeps on starting off each subject line with that. And when that fails, because he keeps coming back and trying this and trying that and maneuvering. And so he says, when you finish that and you're ready to move on, and you do mitzvahs, you refrain from avarice, you don't let these things take you over. What will the Eitz HaRa do? He'll, this is very, very psychological. He says he'll try to make you regret what you did good. And if you regret doing something good, you'll indeed lose your schar from doing the good thing. So what the Eitzer will try, what the Eitzer will try to do is Yishtadel hachmas ha-dagos b'levavcha. Was I right in doing that? I'm not sure I did the right thing. How am I going to make the mortgage payment now? How am I going to have money? And so at the time you decided you broke free of the Eitzara and you realized it was something you were allowed to do. I told you you're not allowed to. But you're allowed to do it. So now it'll try to work retroactively and make you regret it. What? Yeah, that's how some interpret also sota mecharenu, right? Well, first of all, let's say you spend time doing chesed, or you spend time learning, and then afterwards you're saying, "Oh, what did I gain out of this?" Another speech, another tesis. I might as well have, and alluding to something that's a waste of time. To make you worry, and to feel sorrow for what you did. That you'll actually have charota that you did the right thing. The Yimnoacha, and this is maybe a chiddush, maybe not a chiddush, but this is something that Chavis Halvada says here explicitly, you'll lose your schar. You did a mitzvah, and then you have charota. You will lose your schar. This is what he says here. Kadesh al Mitzchar Tal Mashachal Chomarach Al Biyim Noacha, and he will hold you back min hagemul olav from getting the proper schar from it. Mishir Ablu Habori Mimach, and that your actions will find favor in the eyes of Hashem. He'll stop that. He'll be an obstacle to that because you'll rethink it and you'll have charot. Not really rethinking it at the time. At the time, decided it was a good thing to do. Now he's working like retroactively. The tasad varaveira. So if you in an aveira, he'll say, "Oh man, was that gishmak? Maybe I might not do it. Maybe I won't do it again. But wow, that was really something." Because that way he'll get you to do it again. If you keep thinking how gishmak it was. I mean, I can think two obvious examples come to mind. Again, you think of a yeshiva person, you're not thinking of a male, and then he goes to work. Because he has to go to work. You know? He's obligated to go to work. But now, how does he look back? He says, "Oh man, now that I'm in the workplace, I wasted, I did nothing those 5 years. I fetched on a bench, so I learned another tesis, another daf gemara. Now I'm in the workplace, I'm earning money, now I feel like a mensch. Oh, hey, what do I waste 5 years of my life for? Terrible. You'll lose your schar for those 5 years. The right attitude is, those were the best years of my life. I wish I could go back to them. I will always miss them. But, you know, I have to earn a parnassah. It's an obligation. So I had to leave. But don't look back and say, oh man, I could have had 5 years more of savings. I could have had 5 years more of feeling like a mensch." Or about tshuva, let's say that's the most obvious example that comes to mind, but really any person that does an aveira and then he does proper tshuva, but then you go think back and you say, you know, it's pretty gishmak. I wish I had the nerve to do that again. But Chassid Shalom, he says, don't think that, it's a horror, because that's the beginning, Pesach, to get you back on that path. And you have to be repelled, and not the rabbi, you have to always do tshuva. You have to always say, oh yeah, I can't believe I acted that way. You have to cringe when you think of what you did. Again, I'm not going to talk about tshuva, do what anybody that ever did an aveira and did tshuva. So what Chag Gavala says, the Yitzhara tries to get him to wistfully look back and sort of regret now walking the straight and narrow, and he says, and then you'll lose your star. Today, v'tasad var aveira mishtad alachmas ha-simcha b'lipcha v'hasosom b'meshekot b'lcha k'day sh'tishchazik v'dabar v'tachat zolot v'lekin v'shmark, and you'll want to continue doing it. The entargish with Tarmiyosa, but if you become sensitized to his plottings, again, the main trick of everything that we're learning is that we don't think of it as the Yetzer Hara. And if the mother spoke this out in the beginning, he says, if I tell you the way he works, maybe I'm lucky, and when certain thoughts enter your mind, maybe a bell will ring. Maybe a bell will go off. You say, I remember sitting up there in that hot room, trying not to fall asleep, and usually not succeeding. And I remember Linowitz said this, and the Chavis said that, and like a bell will go off, like a warning bell. That's what he said, that's why he's writing this, for that reason. So you should recognize things for as pituyim. The entirety of Tamiyotim, if you become sensitized to his attempts of fooling you, you become aware of the traps he's setting for you. You'll be able to watch yourself from it. You'll have siyata d'shmaya, because you're doing your best, you're trying. But if you don't internalize what we're learning here in the Chayvus Halavus, you don't realize what Chayvus Halavus is doing. He's trying to make us aware of the types of kindness, the types of rationales people have for doing what they do. He'll be successful, he'll throw you down. He'll shoot his arrows at you. Moshe Amar, the Kodok says in Mishlei, Ad yifalech keitz kveido. But the entire connected with Cholzer. Oh, okay. Now we're up to number 11 of 12. That was number 10, and now we're up to number 11. The entire connected with Cholzer. The layuchal of Fatoscha b'meshu zecharnu yestadulucha mitzad choch moscha. This really has to do specifically with Talmud Torah. And he'll try to lessen the chashivas of Talmud Torah, and he'll say, okay, you learn a little, you know enough Torah, you can get by in life. Okay, you know what, you'll learn Mishnah Brura every day, so you'll always know halacha, but Gemara, what's the point, what's who needs it, there's not much point. And learn other things, go to university, study the arts. In his days they studied poetry and grammar, that was the liberal arts of the Chavis Alvodas' days. And that's why he says, Yoyim l'cho, halo yaspik l'cho, mashem maspik l'gadoli d'orcho, uz keinecho, l'das toros v'hanemono, you know enough already. Halo yadata ki ha-chochma in l'keit v'lo yitachlis. The Torah is never ending, so you're never going to know the whole time. So you know what you know, and you know that there's a Hashem in the world, and that's enough. The simma gamos chalikar amonu b'shorosh ha-Torah. And then go to university, to college, and study things that matter. What people will look up to you. You have a degree, and you know things. Me'inyan hashir, that song, v'hamiktzav. These are what do they call it? Poetry. There's these words, param, be in there somewhere. You know how many syllables there are in each line. Utsoni hadiktuk. This is what was very chashid in the Chazon Avodah's days. Vahachidos hanokrios. They used to tell stories and parables, and you used to try like a crossword puzzle. You used to have to guess what he's talking about. Vahamishalom hanogim. Vahanach lachad. Adinim v'machleikas chabad. Why are you learning Gemara for every page with another machleikas? You don't know what to do anyway. You just get a headache from it. Everything's a machlokes, So just, what do you have to learn for? If anybody asks you something, just say it's machlokes. What do you have to waste time learning for? What are you bothering with, like, studying? This is already more esoteric things even. Right, the Eichus Hadibur, the Kashas and Terutim of the Gemara, the dialectics, like a lot of debating in the Gemara, proves, Tashma, I'll disprove what you're saying, like debating style. Humine Hakeshos, extrapolating, making comparisons, or finding rayos, no purpose. The Eichus Hiluch Ha'ilam Ha'olel, these are all logical, debating type descriptions of the rules of logic. That was something that they did with the Lord of the times. There were people who connected the revealed part of Torah to Kabbalah, to the sisters of that Torah. And they were able to connect it. We talk about that more of the Zikin, in the parts of Mishpatim, the shore is
Esau, and Chamor is Ishmael, all connected to more esoteric topics. And don't bother with that, he said. They're too subtle. And they boom, come to Dakos and Yonah. And you smoke a lot, you have Kabbalah, you have your place again, you don't know what to do, you call up your local Orthodox rabbi, he'll tell you what to do. Maybe you can even learn Mishnah, probably you can learn Mishnah for 15 minutes a day, or kids of Shulchan Aruch, and you'll know what to do. The Meshach took a lamad al biguro. And nowadays, they like the liberal arts education. Or even, not liberal arts if you're not doing it, L'shem Parnassah. Be educated. You're not going to be educated in Boba Kamba, no one's going to respect you for that, but you say you're a PhD and whatever, people are going to look up to you. All of a sudden, look at you. You say, I spent the last 2 years learning Boba Kamba. You say, I went to law school, I learned all of them torts. I look at you, that's what Boba Kamba is. That's exactly what Boba Kamba is. Except Boba Kamba is Dvar Hashem, right? Not Goyish laws that don't really have to make any sense. So, but Kasha Tismucha Lam Bemesh Yil Nidna Memcha. Don't listen to the Yitzhar of it, Tishtadel, but Tishchazek. Yore Os. Okay, that's it. That's the end of number 11. And we'll stop here. We're up to actually number 12, the last one. And then I think, let's learn next week, and then we'll call it quits for the Passover season. Okay, but I think next week is still early. Yeah? Next Wednesday we'll learn. Sunday we're not learning, unless you want to invite me to the hospital. Suda, I'll give you a private class. Okay, so Sunday not, and Wednesday yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. In the previous chapter, when the Yetzer Hara makes you regret something, if the thought comes into your mind, but you know you have to fight the thought, and you say, I know I should have just... You do a chesed for someone who never shows hakaras hatov, but you say to you start thinking, why do I do this? But then you immediately say, no, I'm doing this because... Exactly, because they need the chesed, and I can do
well,
it.
Well,
you still just...
Whatever works. Again, this is Shari Yichud HaMaisa, so in the perspective of Shari Yichud HaMaisa, you're really saying to yourself, this is the Ratz of Hashem. So that's what Yichud HaMaisa is really all about. The general topic of Shari Yichud HaMaisa is...